May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine on us so that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. May the people praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples with equity and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. The land yields its harvest. God, our God, blesses us. May God bless us still, so that all the ends of the earth will fear him.
So, yeah, as mentioned just a minute ago, Mihor and George were able to go back to Japan for the first time. Well, Mihor's been more recently, but the first time for George in 6 years since we left Japan in 2018. And he had a wonderful time seeing grandparents and other family members. I kept getting photos on WhatsApp, most of which involved Japanese food of various kinds. If you like Japanese food, you'll understand the joy of that. So lots of these photos were of George enjoying Japanese food. So George about to tuck into sushi, George eating a bowl of noodles, George with, well, I think you get the idea of what the photos were like, lots of photos of George with food. And Japan has been blessed with lots of delicious food. And George shared in that blessing when he was there in Japan for those couple of weeks. When they came back to Manchester, two large suitcases were opened. And I don't remember seeing any clothes or other superfluous things in those suitcases, but they were full to the brim of Japanese snacks. George couldn't bring sushi through customs to share, but he could bring a lot of Japanese snacks. And he wanted to share in the bounty that he had experienced of Japanese food in some way. He even used his own money to buy some Japanese sweets for me that he knew I liked. So that was like a pre-Father's Day gift. He wanted to share that bounty with us back in Manchester, and especially, I think, to encourage the other two who had been coping with Dad's food while Mihor had been away. But what we enjoy, what we experience as good, we usually want to share, don't we, in some way with other people. We want to share the blessings with other people. We want them to participate in it and to see the worth of that and to enjoy it with us. So I wonder what things it might be for you, what things really enthuse you and excite you that make you want to share them, to share that with other people so that they might see how wonderful that thing is and enjoy it as well. There'd be all sorts of interesting answers, I'm sure, if we could discuss that. Above all, though, don't we want to see others share in the blessings of knowing and enjoying and worshipping God? God who's given to us out of his great abundance so that we might know and enjoy and worship him. But if that desire has somehow got disoriented or maybe even lost along the way, then I think this psalm, this brief and beautiful psalm, can help us to reorient our hearts again to that. So in this psalm, Psalm 67, God's people pray that God would graciously bless them so that his saving blessings would be made known through them to all nations and that they too would worship him in turn. The psalm's been described by one old commentator, J. Stuart Perrone, as the joyful outpouring of a heart that longs to see the God and King of Israel be acknowledged and worshipped as the God and King of all the earth. So we're just going to look at this psalm under two headings this morning. The first one, God from whom all blessings flow, and later on, God worshipped by the nations. So God from whom all blessings flow. What struck you first when you heard this psalm or maybe read it before? What struck you? Well, I guess many of us would say that this psalm at the beginning is quoting another part of the Bible. Can you see that? is quoting what's known as the priestly blessing or the priestly benediction from the book of Numbers. You might want to just turn there, actually, to Numbers chapter 6, further back in the Old Testament. Numbers chapter 6. And there's probably a heading there, actually, with the priestly blessing on page 141. So here the Lord tells Moses to tell Aaron and his sons how to bless the people of Israel. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. And then the Lord adds, so they will put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them. And so Psalm 67 turns this priestly blessing into a prayerful song to God. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine on us. So we have here, through the psalm as it was sung and prayed by God's people, an example of purposefully taking scripture and bringing it into our singing, our thinking and our prayers to God. The Lord has made it clear what his heart is for his people, to bless them and keep them and make his face to shine on them. And in the psalm, that word is taken hold of for life now and prayed into life now. Great example for us. It encourages us to do the same. It encourages us to pray this and countless promises that we find in the scriptures, promises from the Lord, for ourselves as his chosen and deeply loved people. I know my thoughts about God, my prayers to God, can become quite dried up and shriveled up when it's just left to me. But when I open the Bible and begin to digest what the Lord has said, what the Word of God says, my prayers can be revitalized. There's so many nutrients in the Bible, aren't there, that our thinking and prayers can draw on. What about your prayers and your praying? Maybe you feel that sometimes as well. But in God's word, we have this nutritious and fertile soil to grow our thinking and praying and singing more. Well, looking back at the psalm, the desire that's expressed here isn't just for things from God. Not just things from God, for the Lord's grace and blessings to us as an end in themselves. Verse 1 shows that this desire is a deeply personal, it's a relational one. The prayer here is that the Lord's face would shine on the people, isn't it? And what does it mean for the Lord's face to shine on us? Well, it's a really arresting image of the Lord turning towards us in his perfect goodness to do us good. It's an image of God's face smiling on us. You may want to just flick back to Psalm 4 and verse 6 just to see another example of this. Psalm 4 and verse 6. And here David says, many, Lord, are asking, who will bring us prosperity? Or it could be, who will bring us good? Let the light of your face shine on us. Well, Manchester's been pretty rainy, pretty cloudy and gloomy over the last few weeks, and I think it's not been that much better here. It really can feel gloomy and get you down a little bit when the weather continues like that. But thankfully, there have been a few hours here and there, maybe half a day if we're lucky, of better weather, a bit of sun, and the clouds have dispersed, the sun has broken through. And just to enjoy that, even for a few brief moments, really lifts your soul, doesn't it, when the sun shines down. But imagine if that's what the sun can do for us, what the the shining face of the Lord upon us, the creator of the sun. Imagine what that is like. The Lord himself is the overflowing source of all goodness and blessings. And he desires to shine these into our lives as we turn to him. I really enjoyed the prodigal son story that we heard again together. And I think there's a great illustration there, isn't there, of exactly that. Well, verse 6 of Psalm 67 is an example of how in part Israel understood blessing from God, in part as the earth yielding its crops, if you look at verse 6. It's a very material idea. Our God is the creator of all material things for our blessing, of course. And of Christians, we certainly shouldn't be spiritualizing everything that we read in Scripture. We should be giving thanks to the Creator for these things. We look forward to a restored and bountiful earth in the future where sin and death will be destroyed. We long for new resurrection bodies, don't we? But at the same time, we don't confuse material gifts from God as demonstrating his saving favor upon us. But then even as we say that, perhaps in some ways, we might be tempted to think that. We may be inclined to think like that. We can tend to feel that God's love might be more for us. He might be really blessing us if we have the things that we think we need, or if we have kids, they have the things that we think they need. Or when our health is fairly good, or when we have security in our job. But we may begin to question God's good intentions for us when something fails or is taken away. But God assures us in the Bible that his good intentions for us to bless us with salvation will never change, whatever happens to us, whatever we have or whatever we lose in life. The psalm encourages us to turn to him and seek him first as our greatest treasure, that we might know him better as the source of our life and everything good in this assurance we have. Well, it doesn't stop here with the congregation of believers and their God together in this wonderful relationship. Verse 2 makes that very clear. If you look at verse 2, why does the psalmist ask God to be gracious and bless them and make his face to shine upon them? Well, it's so that God's ways may be known on earth, God's salvation among the nations. So the psalmist takes the ancient priestly blessing, which he'd probably heard over and over again in the context of worship in the sanctuary, and adds this missionary purpose to it, so that God's ways may be known on earth. God's people are blessed in him so that they are a blessing to the world. And he didn't just tack this missionary purpose onto the psalm, though. The whole Bible shows how Israel was always supposed to be a vessel that received the abundant blessings of the Lord in face-to-face relationship with him, which would in turn run over to the nations around them. And of course, that's what the Lord said to Abraham hundreds of years before Aaron. And we've heard about Abraham, we've sung about Abraham this morning, when he told Abraham to go to a new land where he'd make him into a new nation, a great nation. And what did he say? I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. In you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Genesis chapter 12. And God has fulfilled this, his own awesome promises to make his face shine upon his people and bless them to be a blessing. And he's answered the prayers and longings of his people for this in ways more wonderful than they could ever have imagined. It was his plan to do so from eternity, and he's done it all through his Son. Through Jesus Christ, God fulfilled his ancient promise to Abraham to bless him and his descendants with salvation. And that's exactly what Peter proclaimed to the astounded onlookers who had seen the miracle of the healing of the lame beggar. Acts chapter 3, if you'd like to have a look there, you can turn to Acts chapter 3. The Lord Jesus himself working in power in these ways through the story of Acts. And if you look at verses 25 and 26, Peter tells them, "You are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant that God made with your fathers, saying to Abraham, 'And in your offspring, Jesus, shall all the families of the earth be blessed.' God, having raised up his servant, Jesus, sent him to you first to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness." And then in turn, he brought blessings to all the families of the earth. And we are included in this blessing as we believe the gospel. We are evidence of that. And this inclusion is continuing throughout the world, all around us, even though the world, the news, pay next to no attention to what's happening under our noses. And we rejoice in the Japanese people we've been able to share with and who have come on a few steps towards believing, we pray. We rejoice in a Japanese student from Cambridge who we heard has trusted in the Lord Jesus as a student in York recently. We praise God for a Japanese postdoc who, after some opposition from family, was able to go ahead, having believed in the Lord, and be baptized in a church in London. And just on Friday, I heard about a Chinese scholar from a friend who, when doing some Bible study with a friend, said, "Maybe God will bless me by helping me to believe in him." So the Lord is at work. I'm sure you have stories as well that you could share. Well, in Jesus Christ, God is abundantly gracious to us, we're told, blessing us with every spiritual blessing in him, as Paul told the Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, we've had Ephesians referenced this morning as well, haven't we? And what are these blessings? Well, redemption, justification, forgiveness, reconciliation, adoption, the seal of the Holy Spirit, sanctification. What wonderful blessings we enjoy in Christ. And of course, the highest blessing of all is knowing God in Jesus Christ forever. And it's in him and him alone that we have these blessings. I've really enjoyed listening to Sinclair Ferguson's Things Unseen podcast. I don't know if you've come across those. I'd recommend trying one out. It's like having a very wise Scottish dad share from the riches of the Bible for 6 or 7 minutes while you're doing the washing up or whatever you do when you listen to podcasts. But they do pay close attention. It's good to pay close attention as well because they can be very profound. But one of his recent reflections on every spiritual blessing in Christ, he makes the point that there's a real danger of thinking that somehow we can have blessings apart from Jesus Christ. From Jesus Christ himself. And he says, but the New Testament makes clear that you can't do that. You can only have Jesus Christ. And when you have him, you have everything in him. And when that dawns on us, it's a great protection against seeking blessings instead of seeking and trusting the Lord Jesus himself, in whom these blessings are to be found and in whom they are to be experienced. So let's continue to seek and to trust the Lord Jesus himself, in whom these blessings are to be found and experienced. And when Paul explained to the Corinthian Christians the contrast between the Old Testament with a glory that was passing away and the new covenant made through Christ with a glory that would never pass away, he told them about the wonderful light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, God's very image. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6, he wrote this. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. Which very much links back into the psalm we have here. Through Christ, we come face to face with God. We don't see the face of Christ with our physical eyes now, and we see him with the eyes of faith. And we see more of him as we gather together week by week as his gospel people, as we're doing today, as we learn from him through the scriptures, as they're preached and read, as we fellowship together and as we pray and as we sing together and as we celebrate the Lord's Supper together. In all these things, the Holy Spirit is directing us to the overwhelmingly beautiful and captivating face of our God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, until we do see him with our physical eyes when he returns for us. So secondly, and a little more briefly, God worshipped by the nations. God worshipped by the nations. And verse 3 has the first of two identical refrains in the psalm, as I'm sure you'll have noticed. Those being the same. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. A great longing there. You might have in a different Bible, let the peoples praise you, O God. And this prayer is being directed to God himself. Only the awesome God, the creator of the universe, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who's worthy of all praise from all people in the world, only he can answer this prayer and bring about the praise that's due to him. And as we come together and praise and worship him this morning, we're evidence that he is answering that prayer through his gospel. And this prayerful song asking God for this to be fulfilled is the heartbeat and the mission of Jesus Christ, for God to be praised by all the world's peoples. And more than anyone before or after him, Jesus knew how worthy God is of being praised by all peoples everywhere. As God's only begotten Son, he enjoyed the closest face-to-face communion with his Father from eternity. He was jealous for his Father's praise, that it would flow from the hearts and mouths of all people. He went first to the lost sheep of Israel, to preach the gospel to them and to restore them to heartfelt worship of their true and living God. And he taught the people what it means to be part of his kingdom, knowing and worshipping God. And he said that he's the shepherd of a flock, a flock of sheep that he'd lay down his life for. And he spoke about other sheep outside Israel who he'd bring into his fold by his sin-bearing death on the cross for them, to bring them together as one people, worshipping God together. And in his resurrection and ascension, he's been exalted on the throne as king, with all authority in heaven and earth to bring people to himself through his gospel, people praising him. And so we have verse 4 of our psalm. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples with equity and guide the nations of the earth. God's desire is that people from every part of the world would be eternally glad, sharing in his overflowing gladness, in knowing him through Jesus. So do we long that more and more people would know this gladness, these blessings that we have in Christ, and that they too would be glad and sing for joy? Is that the desire of our hearts? Well, God is working this out, even as conflicts continue and as new ones break out, sadly, here and there throughout the world. Even as many in our own country are increasingly hostile to God and the gospel and reap the consequences of that. And we wonder how bad things can get before they, we pray, get better as the Lord works. So we need to be keeping in prayer. According to the Joshua Project, you may know about the Joshua Project. There are 17,317 people groups in the world, and 7,282 of those are still termed unreached. And that's defined, an unreached or least reached people group is defined as following: a people group among which there is no indigenous community of believing Christians, with adequate numbers and resources to evangelize this people group without outside assistance. And so when we consider these numbers, we wonder how they'll be able to hear the gospel and how they'll be able to come to the Lord and praise him with gladness and joy. But let's remember that God is more than able and his gospel is more than adequate. And God, of course, has already shown us that he will bring a multitude, a great multitude of people to worship him from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages before the throne to worship and praise him. And we can see that particularly in Revelation 7, which you may want to look at later again, that famous and wonderful passage there. So what does the Lord ask for us, from us? Well, I think first and foremost, as the psalm shows us, he asks us to seek him. Seek him. He asks us to pray to him and to ask him to shine it into our lives, to shine more into our lives, and to help us to marvel at his glory, to enjoy him in the gospel above all else. That's his desire for us. And to make ourselves available to him, to be channels of blessing to those around us who don't know him yet. How can we do that? It could be in what might seem to us as quite small ways. But in whatever way we do that, we make ourselves available to him, whether that's here in Cambridge, whether that's in Manchester, or somewhere else entirely. And when we know God's saving power, his good way, as the psalm says, his just rule over us in Christ, we'll want these to be known by other peoples as well. And so that's all summed up in the last verse of the psalm, in verse 7. May God bless us still, so that all the ends of the earth will fear him. Let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you so much. Your face has turned to us, smiling upon us. And you have indeed, through your Son, shone upon us and blessed us with every spiritual blessing in him. We thank you for the riches that we have in the Lord Jesus, and pray that our great joy, our great praise would be him, would be the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the countless ways in which you have blessed us and continue to bless us. And we do ask that, as the psalm prays, you continue to bless us and fill us with the knowledge of yourself in Jesus Christ. And so that in our prayers and in our interactions with people who don't know you yet, we could share the blessings that you have given to us. We pray that our hearts would be more aligned with yours in these things. And we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.